everybody's talking about the net neutrality issue. And I think if you're like me, you don't really understand this issue that well. For instance, Fortune magazine wrote that all internet service providers, that's how you get your internet, must allow equal access to apps and content, regardless of the source. If it were not enforced, net neutrality, your internet service provider could make it harder for you to access parts of the internet at its own discretion, or it might not come in as well, or they might charge you more for it. But they also point out an argument for eliminating net neutrality. The argument for eliminating net neutrality posits that less regulation will lead to more investment and more competition in the internet service provider sector. That's what the FCC chair said. So we'll do a pro and a con on this, and we'll start with Peter Van Dorn from the Cato Institute. Hey, Peter, it's John Williams, and you're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for having me.
What do people understand the least, or what would you most want us to know about eliminating net neutrality?
Well, I would say that technologically, the net has not been neutral ever since it was privatized after the government gave up ownership of it in the early 1990s. So the reason the net has worked so well for most of us since then is actually because it hasn't been neutral. The way the government set it up, all the information on the net had to go one way. And then once it was privatized, it quickly became congested, and the so-called internet backbone providers, the base of the internet that you and I don't interact with as consumers but actually makes it run, those providers had market power. And so quickly, other providers started to do workarounds. So for at least 20 years, the packets, the units of information on the internet haven't moved neutrally in a generation. And so the reason the net works actually is it's been non-neutral. It couldn't work if it were neutral in that strict way that some people want it to work.
Well, I'm told more about what's going to happen than what has happened. And what the fear is that they're going to now charge you for access to Facebook. They'll bundle it in a packet like you would for your cable TV. Or that if you're going to get Netflix, Netflix is going to have to charge you more because the companies will charge Netflix more. And if Netflix doesn't play the game, then maybe their speed won't be as good and your movies will glitch. Talk about that for a little bit.
Well, actually, Netflix already pays a lot more than others. So email, for the internet to deal with email is quite simple. For it to deal with streaming movies that only go from, you know, from a provider like Netflix down to the rest of us, that requires a lot more technical stuff to work right. And Netflix has paid more for years to actually get that to work from the consumer point of view. The fear that consumers are going to be charged more strikes me as it's certainly a possibility under the new regime. But given social media's awareness of all this, once some provider tries to do that, they'll be called out, and then people will quickly switch to some other, and then particularly on the mobile side. And since firms know this, they're probably not going to do that in the first place because they'll be blackballed and customers won't like this kind of restraint.
Well, do you think that it will actually make it better? Because I think some of us are hoping that, you know, the best case scenario is that I'll still be able to go online, I'll still be able to play my games, I'll still be able to watch movies, whatever, and that it's that I won't notice anything. I think that for some of us is the best case scenario. Would you suggest that
you agree
that that's going to happen? Would you also suggest that it's actually going to be better for us now that net neutrality is out of the way?
Well, the fear under net neutrality is that there was going to be federal price controls and pricing policy on various services, and that is what messed up the old landline telephone system. And so the fear in providers was that we'd end up with deteriorating service because, as Chairman Pai said, lack of investment because of price control. So that's now off the table, and I think you'll see a very robust response, and you won't see any of the kind of throttling back and things that some consumer groups worry about, because, as I said, the providers that try to do that will be outed immediately, and they will, you know, suffer consumer disdain for having to try for doing that.
Without this government regulation, though, isn't this just going to enable the big, rich, powerful companies to have even more of a stranglehold?
I hear that argument a lot, and but then there are articles in the same newspapers in the business section about how Silicon Valley venture capital people will throw lots of money at any kind of new internet firm. And so the business press says both that the biggies somehow control everything, and yet venture capitalists will fund any startup that a 22-year-old has in mind. So both can't be true. My sense is if someone has a business model that would challenge any existing firms like Google or Netflix or whatever, the Silicon Valley venture capital types would be quite happy to fund those companies.
Yeah.
Make a go of it against the existing one.
Well, that sounds ambitious to me, though, if you think about it. But well, who knows? Let me read you a sentence or two from, again, Fortune magazine in writing about this. It says, what will the internet look like without net neutrality? And they say, without the assurances of net neutrality, large internet companies could favor their own business interests. Telecom giants and Silicon Valley titans are likely to lobby lawmakers in the coming days and weeks. But for now, net neutrality could affect everything from internet speed to overall access. The elimination of net neutrality means that the internet providers can carve up service into fast and slow lanes. And where now you have good service, if you want to continue good service, you're going to have to pay a premium for that. Otherwise, you'll get kicked into the slow lane. It'll be longer wait times to get online. You might get kicked off more easily. What do you think about that, Peter?
That's certainly possible. But as I said, the technical demands of the internet hasn't been neutral since it's been privatized at all. So all of that has already taken place. It's just not been on the consumer side. It's been on the content provider side. They have paid more to get things to work when they needed to, when they had, in effect, use of the net that was much more complicated than ordinary email or something like that. The ability of firms to differentially charge consumers depends on consumer reaction. And as I said, because consumers will not react pleasantly to that, most firms, I think, would be very risk-averse about trying that, because the minute they try to do that, the net will be full of outrage, and then the argument will be that consumers should defect from whomever their provider is and go to someone else that's offering a very different kind of service.
Well, I hope that they're offering a good deal, too. I mean, maybe competition will provide that, but will I really have that many options, do you think?
You'll have more options on the mobile side than on the hard side.
Yeah.
Right now, most places have two LAN competition, two sources of LAN internet provision, being the cable provider or a telephone provider. Other people have satellite, then with a DSL through the phone system. And so the mobile people, who are actually often younger and worried the most about the repeal of this rule, actually, I think, have the most options in their cell service.
Okay, Peter Van Doren is with the Cato Institute. So the flip side of that, a tech writer over at Slate says, oh, no, it's not like this. Before I go to her, any sort of preemptive salvo you'd like to lob out there, Peter?
No, the claim that there's a possibility that lots of mischief could occur is certainly correct. I'm not claiming that the legal or technical possibility doesn't exist, but we haven't had a legal net neutrality regime because it's always been contested in the court. So it really hasn't been in place either on the technical side or on the legal side. So if people look to the past about the internet, it's not that the internet's been regulated and that's why it worked. It's actually been unregulated and that's why it worked. So the possibility that bad things could occur, yes, they are now legally and technically possible, but I would, hold my fire until those things actually happen before I would ask the government to do something about it.
Over at the Cato Institute. Peter, thanks for your time this afternoon. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
It's 2:18. Okay, what's the other side of that coin in a minute? April Glazer joins us from Slate Magazine. April, it's John Williams. You're on WGN Radio. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
We just visited with a guy over at the Cato Institute, a conservative think tank, and their view on it was that the worry about net neutrality going away is is worry, but not fact. In fact, the internet has been largely unregulated and folks seem to be okay with it. Is there the possibility for trouble? Yeah, but he said, let's hold our fire until that happens. What do you say about that?
Well, I would rather not wait until something bad happens. And the truth is that the internet did have a level of rules. I mean, there were guidelines in place, and the FCC did act to punish, for instance, Comcast when it blocked or when it punished Comcast for blocking BitTorrent traffic over its network, you know, back in 2007. You know, we've seen Apple attempt to, or AT&T rather, attempt to block FaceTime on Apple, and then that was also received heavy pushback. And so there's been some guidelines for a long time. It's just that they were never codified until 2015. And now Chairman Pai has completely undone that. And those 2015 rules were really hard to get. Now, we don't know how bad it's going to be. But the truth is that the reason why we have rules is to prevent it from getting bad. You know, it could be that as soon as the rules are enacted, AT&T speeds up access to Facebook and Verizon speeds up access to Netflix, and all of a sudden, you know, the internet is just a much different place.
He said, for instance, if, say, you're the slow lane and the fast lane, and if you just mm-hmm. want to pay the freight like you do now, you'll be in a slow lane. And if you want to have fast access, if you want to have no glitches, then you need to pay the premium. He said, sure, they can do that, but I don't think they will, because if they did, there'd be outrage. Customers would be upset. Nobody wants to borrow that problem. He didn't think that I would notice much of a difference.
Well, you might not notice at first, right? But eventually you'll realize that the local restaurant whose website you would go to see what their menu is that day is loading really slow. And so you just end up going to Yelp instead, right? Or you'll notice that the local news website that you love and that you go to for your local reports is slow. And so what do? You navigate away to the big national site that can afford that fast lane access. It's true that they might not roll it out in some big way, and it might be piecewise, but we might not notice it right away, but eventually the way we use the internet will change. And, you know, what they'll also do is perhaps strike deals, you know. So, for instance, AT&T, who has a pending merger with Time Warner, which also owns HBO, they could, for instance, say HBO is much faster on AT&T, and therefore if you're an HBO fan, you'll be more likely to subscribe to AT&T than Verizon. And that's just a very anti-competitive marketplace.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and that's a bad thing. Why? Because that's anti-competitive. He also suggested, though, that what's going to happen if you keep it as wild as the West can be, rather than under the umbrella of government regulation, it will in fact inspire more startups. He said the Silicon Valley's always throwing money at some entrepreneurs who have another internet gadget or idea, and this will encourage more innovation. What do you say about that?
I actually think the opposite is true, because the people who are going to kind of set the price for these fast lane speeds, or the companies rather, are those that are already in power, those incumbents, and they can afford to spend a lot for that priority access. And they'll probably price out those smaller websites that can't afford for that fast lane access. And when it comes to investment, you know, I think that, you know, VCs and people who are starting startups will have a much harder time getting their new website, their new product out to the public, because they don't have the money to pay for that fast lane access. And the internet has the possibility of becoming a much more boring place, where those who are in power just become further entrenched.
April, I used the internet in 2015. There was no net neutrality in place then. Seemed to be okay for me. So if in 2020 it was like it was in 2015, I honestly don't know if I would have a problem with that. What do you say about that line of thinking?
Well, that's not necessarily true, because it's not that there weren't net neutrality rules in place. It's that there actually were guidelines in place, but they were challenged in court, and the court said that the FCC had to, if they were going to make rules, then they had to, you know, do it in a more solid way. And so the FCC went back and made more solid rules. But there were guidelines in place, and the FCC would enforce them, and they would slap ISPs on the wrist here and there for acting in non-neutral ways. And, you know, ISPs were, not blocking and not discriminating against websites because they were following those guidelines that exist. 2015 rules came in, and those guidelines were actually firmed up.
Do you think that'll happen? I mean, I hear these doomsday scenarios. Do you think I will have trouble getting to my favorite sites, that I will be charged extra, that I will have an appreciable difference, either in terms of dollars and cents or internet access, period?
Again, I don't think it's, I think it's going to be more like death by a thousand cuts, right? So yeah. I don't think it's going to be like the first day that the rules are on the books, all of a sudden you go to your local news website and it takes 5 minutes to bring up a page, right? But eventually you'll start to notice that you migrate towards a faster loading page, or you'll notice that, hey, Skype is free with Comcast, and so I'm going to use Comcast, right? And all of a sudden, you know, your choices are being dictated by these incentives and these priority packages that are being put up. And again, you know, we're also going to see this on mobile. So when they could institute packages, for instance, when all your data is used up, you still have free access to Facebook or, you know, some host of social media sites. And who's going to get to choose what social media sites get that free access? The internet providers. And so they're going to choose who gets to win and who loses on the marketplace.
And they'll be making deals with those preferred providers or content creators so that the big, powerful companies get richer and more powerful.
So think of think of it like a cable package, right? They would rather you have your app as if it's like an HBO service where you pay for each app or pay for each channel, as opposed to just being able to download whatever new innovative thing ends up on the app marketplace that you want to use and contribute to your technological life.
But do they do that in Japan and Canada and Brazil? I mean, much of the world, China, they don't have net neutrality. Are they bundling their services? That is, you have to pay extra to go to Facebook or something like that?
They do that in Europe, for example. They have net neutrality rules, but there are no rules prohibiting what's called zero rating, which is what we're talking about now. And that's when the provider does not charge to reach access to a particular website, or it doesn't count against your data caps. And in those countries, you know, people who subscribe to these social plans or these video streaming plans so they get free access to these particular websites, they're not navigating to new websites, right? Again, the market becomes more closed. There's less options because people are going with what the incumbent ISPs are dictating them towards.
April Glazer writes for Technology at Slate. April, I don't know if you and I visited on this show before. You're terrific. I appreciate your time this afternoon.
Thanks. I really enjoyed it. Take care.
There's the pro and the con on all of that.